again, Intelligentsia. I'm John Jeffries here on the Jeffries Brief. Got a great, great additional show for you this week. I am talking with Jonathan Wickman. He's running for governor in 2022 in Wisconsin. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Jeffries Brief.
I'm doing well. Thanks, John.
Hey, you said, you know, before we got started that you're going to, that there's a possible recall going on that could happen in 2022 with, what's his name, Evers?
Tony Evers, yeah. Actually, you know, the recall would happen sooner if they get their signatures here. I guess we'll know by the close to the end of October here.
What are the grounds for the recall?
Well, I mean, I think what motivated all the people here in Wisconsin to get on board with this, the majority at least, is what happened in Kenosha. You know, I think Kenosha was the last straw. I mean, really started back in, you know, was it, during the lockdowns, you know, the long illegal lockdowns that, you know, he was going for. If the Supreme Court had knocked him down, I mean, Tony Evers would probably still have a lockdown to this day. Lord knows, you know, what the local economy would look like. I mean, it's already pretty damaged because of that. And then, you know, all the nonsense and the back and forth with the CDC and Fauci, do we wear a mask, don't we wear a mask? And then, of course, Tony Evers gets on board that train and, you know, trying to force everyone to wear a mask. You know, some people are complying, others aren't. It really comes down to the businesses having to implement this, whether they want to or not, simply because they're leveraging their business licenses, right? And then, of course, the incident that happened in Kenosha with the police officer shooting Jacob there. And then, of course, what BLM, you know, came in and did to the city. I personally went and surveyed the city and met with the people, specifically Sue and Keith, who had their business burnt down. And, yeah, that's really, I think, what motivated this recall.
Let me ask you something, and that is this. It seems to me that the Democrat governors of the various states have chosen to sit there and lock down their economies intentionally with the hope of using the wrecked state economies as a general election issue. Would you agree with
that? Yeah. I would totally agree with you on that, and it's pretty messed up in my book. I mean, if you're an American, right? Why would you want to light fire to your own city, destroy your own job? You have to place blame on the president,
right?
Right? Isn't the saying "cut your nose off to spite your face" or something like that? I mean, that really is what it feels like to me.
Yes,
and it's just terrible. And that's really what's motivated me to get into the running and try and right this ship again to get some leadership back into Wisconsin.
Okay. What are you going to do? You know, how are you going to handle the teachers' union? Because they are a powerful political force up there in Wisconsin. How do you intend to sell yourself to them?
Well, you know, I'm free markets kind of guy. I study history, and I always see that a true competitive free market always will bring, in the end, the best product at the best price, right? And, you know, like, I'm not a union buster. Everyone thinks that I'm, you know, like Walker, I'm trying to bust the unions. That's not my thing. I think the free market eventually, it's more powerful anyways. It will adjust the union to what it has to do. But really, I think the union, especially, I mean, just recently, the other day, 274 teachers did like a walkout in Kenosha, leaving the students high and dry. I think they're going to sink their own ship eventually, right? They're going to kind of lose that moral high ground. People are going to start to see through their nonsense and say, hey, what's going on here? You don't really have the best interest at heart for either the worker or our students. So,
well, they always use.
I'll let them implode.
The thing is, they always say it's for the children. Well, isn't it funny how the children never seem to benefit from their demands?
At some point
in time, you got to say, what are you doing? And you're right.
Right.
Hopefully, they'll price themselves right out of the market.
Yeah.
I mean, as I hate to say it, but you know what?
It's going to happen. I mean, we're a global economy now. You know, Trump is trying to renegotiate here with China. I will get into Trump here a little later, but I don't want to segue too fast. But yeah, so not a union buster. But, you know, I will be pushing for a better end product and try, my whole platform is education too. You know, I'm trying to educate the voter to see really what's going on here in the political game and how they are really a pawn being used by both parties.
Okay. What else, you know, what do you want to tell the people of Wisconsin? What do you want them to know? What they say, who is this guy?
Sure. I think since Trump came on the scene, I think the average voter is starting to wake up a little bit. But what I want to say to the voters of Wisconsin is times have changed, okay, greatly. And not everything is as what it appears to be, right? I feel like there's been this veil put in front of the voters' eyes through the mainstream media, and they're always trying to distract the voters. Say, look over here. This is the real problem to why your life sucks.
This is why your life sucks.
Yeah, that's why your life sucks. And I'm trying to say, no. Here's the crux of the system. Here's why you are really a modern-day slave still. Your life is deteriorating. The gap between the ultra-rich and the ultra-poor is expanding, right? And the middle class is evaporating. And that's very dangerous. If you go throughout history and you look at, you know, nations that had a deteriorating middle class, eventually the whole country implodes on itself. So the stability of a strong nation resides in the middle class, because that is the segue, right, for you being able to step out of poverty to middle class, work your way up, and then obviously get into the upper class, right, rich. That's how it goes. So if you make that gap too large, which we've entered into, then, of course, the social unrest begins to happen, and people start to look to Big Daddy government to solve their problems, which actually makes the problem worse.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Government is not the answer, my friends. Listen closely. And you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Now, I see that you would like to privatize Social Security. That's an issue which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, so I don't have any control over that. Most people, you know, they freak out. That's a federal, initiative there. But when people ask my opinion on it, I'm happy to give it to them. And if you've checked out any of my videos, I actually created a video on my thoughts as to why we should begin to privatize Social Security. It is a Ponzi scheme. It was a Ponzi scheme from the get-go. And of course, as always, the government tapped that budget.
It's a slush fund.
Yeah, basically. And now, technically, it's all gone. So the federal government is carrying these huge deficits. We are borrowing, from the Federal Reserve to fund every new day. And we can't raise taxes because, like I said, we have record high unemployment. The whole mainstream economy has really destroyed, especially since this lockdown, the COVID thing. And, we're in trouble. But again, government's only tool is to raise taxes, just like the only tool in the toolbox of the Federal Reserve is to print more currency. So there's kind of like this doom vortex that is shaping up that most people are not recognizing. And, of course, leadership and politics, they don't have a clue. And they're not making any moves to begin to hedge the citizens from this. And because I know this, I study this, I have contacts and mentors, I'm willing to step in and try and hedge the people of Wisconsin from this disaster that's coming.
How would you do that?
Well, we have to get back to honest money first. So that's really the key thing. You know, the Federal Reserve, I'm sure you're aware of this, began in 1913. It's a banking cartel. The United States politicians sold out. The Constitution affords the United States the right to coin its own money. That's already been set up by the Founding Fathers. But we sold out to the banking cartel, and the only thing that the Federal Reserve creates is debt notes. So that little paper money, and no one hardly any uses cash anymore. Of course, cash is dirty because of COVID. So everyone's going into digital, and that's the final trap. That's what I'm really trying to warn humanity about, is if we allow them to take us into a pure digital monetary system, that's the only thing you can transact in, your life eventually will become a living hell. I guarantee it.
Well, I don't know why we ever went off the gold standard to begin with, because ever since then, it just keeps going higher and higher and higher.
I know why we did. Here's what people don't understand. Is if you look at the setup of a communist country, there is a few main pillars that have to be formed before that can happen. And one of the pillars, key ones, is you have to have a central bank. Okay? You absolutely have to have a central bank. And that's what they are able to accomplish. And the reason for that is, it's kind of like a magic trick. If you can give one entity the ability to create money out of thin air, it can fund anything it wants. So it can make certain politicians look really good and other ones really bad. So, for example, Ron Paul, great guy, right? He knew the truth. He was trying to teach America, hey, this is how sound money should work. This is how free markets should operate. The government should not pick winners and losers, when it comes to industry and businesses. And this is why we're having all these asset bubbles increase. And this is going to be a disaster when all these bubbles pop. On the other side, you have these politicians that are promising everyone free stuff. You get a car, you get a car, Oprah, right? And so, of course, human nature, you're going to gravitate to the person who's giving you free things, aren't you?
Everybody wants something for nothing.
Yeah. So if you don't know any better, if this is not taught to you in the curriculum and in the public school education system, which it's not, then you're not going to know any better. You're going to think that's just how the world operates. There is this magic money tree, and everyone can get everything for free.
Now, you want to implement a technology called Wisconsin's Voice. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so I'm a tech guy. My business is a digital marketing agency, but I really help companies with advertising and sales and processes. But I have a tech background in programming and database development. I don't do that so much anymore, but I still understand the architecture. And we understand that there's a big problem with election fraud and securing elections, or did my vote count? But more importantly, what I really what I was trying to accomplish with that was get big money out of politics. When I started my campaign here and went through the whole process, I realized, wow, I understand why people with good ideas don't really run for political office. It's because, fundraising, you have to go beg for money.
I hate that.
Ultra rich. Yeah, if you're not ultra rich like Donald Trump, or a billionaire, multimillionaire, or a deep pocket, you're not going to get the same kind of funding, So when you go up against a guy who does, he's able to, basically own the airwaves, running his ads, and just drown you out, right? So how Wisconsin Voice Technology would get rid of it is, the first process is validating every citizen there as a valid citizen of the state. So we're going through a grueling registration process to make sure that you are who you say you are. And I don't get into all the technicals of it, but there's ways we do that. Once we have you on board there, you'll have your account, on the .gov. This is all .gov website you go to, or app. We'll also have the app for the younger people and their smartphones. The brilliance of it is you'll have 5.7, give or take, million people in Wisconsin on the platform. And so someone like me who wants to run for governor, right? I'll get my signatures that I need to get on the ballot. But the moment I do everything to become, be valid to get on the ballot, what will happen is the system will send out a push notification to every citizen in Wisconsin saying, hey, Jonathan Wickman made the ballot to run for governor. Check out his campaign webpage. Here it is, all the resources, right? Now all of a sudden I have 5 million eyes on my campaign, what I'm trying to do for the state, and it didn't cost me a dollar. All of a sudden, we're not owned by big special interests anymore.
All right. Now, what else do you want to tell the people of Wisconsin?
We have, like I said, we have some real big challenges coming down the pipeline from economics and jobs. And under the wrong leadership, that's going to be a very grueling process, a lot of pain. A lot of the misery index is going to be up as you're trying to compete for jobs. My whole, what I'm trying to do, my attitude is I'm trying to teach people how to be job creators. So many people go to school and then college to consume a job, and they fail to realize that even jobs are subject to the laws of supply and demand. If you don't have the people creating them, there won't be a job for you to consume, right? So let's start training people on how to develop businesses, and I really support small to medium-sized businesses. I'm not I'm not a big multinational guy. I actually don't believe the multinational corporations create as many jobs as small and medium-sized businesses do, or even as good quality of a job. That's the first thing. The other thing is, I'm not like this heartless Republican. Democrats always try to make us out to be that. I understand that if we are able to get the foundation right, if we're able to get our economics and finances in order, right? No debts, have a nice savings fund going on. We really actually have the real money, the funds to do all these other things that need to be done, like end homelessness, right, once and for all. Let's get everyone off of the street. We can end homelessness. Child sex trafficking, right, huge issue. Let's take care of, those problems there. So there's other little, things that I love to accomplish, but everything comes down to dollars and cents. If people are struggling just trying to feed their own family and make ends meet, unfortunately, they're not going to care about the person who's homeless, right?
No, they're not.
That's how human nature is. So.
Now, I also see that you wanted to secure Wisconsin's food independence. How do you intend to do that?
Well, we know that farmers are always under pressure. Right?
Always.
And again, if you look at how a country becomes, cruel communist country, the government always tends to centralize the food source. And this happens with, consolidating into big, big corporations. So big food corps work hand in hand with government. And the little farmer guy, he's usually, can't compete anymore. He takes on more and more debt until he finally goes under. And that's bad. That's really bad. Because if you control the food, then you control the people.
That's absolutely correct.
Time again. So I love eating good, healthy food, organic food, and when possible. And I worked in a Title I school. I was only one of two white teachers that were in there. And I connected so well with my students. But I saw what they ate, every day for lunch. And it is just a sugar-filled, terrible lunch, right? I feel in Wisconsin with, all of this farmland that we have and resources, we could do better, for our children and just regular people here too. So I want to really try and help remove the debt load, help small farmers become debt-free, number one, and then help them operate in a more competitive manner. So I know we're dairy-heavy, and that's fine, but we need to start to diversify a little bit, help these farmers diversify so they are stronger farms, so they're not, they're not subjected to the whipsaw, maybe, of pricing, right, commodity pricing when it comes to just dairy. So they can stand on their two legs when, dairy prices or milk prices are not as high as they need to be. And I want to look at, where can we start exporting, to, right? There's a lot of different areas there. So I'm just approaching it like I would approach a business and just, help secure. I think Wisconsin has all of the resources to be independent, really, apart from the nation. We have so many great things here. Let's start using it and really benefit our people within the state.
I like it. And yes, people, in case you're wondering, Wisconsin cheese is better than the California cheese.
Yes, it is.
It really is. I mean, it's like, come on. No. For those of you who haven't had any Wisconsin cheese before, I urge you, go to your local grocery store. You'll see it. It's labeled. Check it out. And as for the dairy products, yes, Wisconsin's dairy heavy. They also export a lot of their stuff to Canada, which is which was part of the new the US-Mexico-Canada agreement, right. And that's all right. I mean, the Canadians got their stuff, but if we got, why shouldn't our farmers benefit?
Right. Well, it's competition again, right? We can put out a better product, let the consumer decide
absolutely
what they want to buy.
Competition. This is what he's. The people aren't following. What he's trying to say is really simple. It's not equality of outcome. It's the equality of opportunity. And I got to tell you, people, this is what free competition builds. Not the equality of outcome, but the equality of opportunity. And this is, I think that's really where you're going with it.
Yeah. And the other thing is, a big concern too, since we have a aging kind of population right now on the baby boomers, is the cost of healthcare. Why is healthcare so expensive? And once again, because you allow the government to get involved, working there, they're pushing us towards a nationalized healthcare system with the Affordable Healthcare Act. The thing I want to tell people is anytime the government comes up with a name for a bill, it's the opposite, all right?
Right.
Whatever they're saying to you, if it's the CARES Act, it's the I Hate You Act.
The okay? I Hate You Act.
Yeah.
Hey, if Obamacare was so great, why aren't the senators and the House of Representatives, why aren't they on it? If it's so wonderful and so great, They can give up their platinum healthcare plan and come join the plan that's going to save us $2,500 a year, which I'm still waiting to happen.
Right. I had a person message me on my Facebook campaign page. I do respond to every comment and personal private message that comes in. No other political candidate really does that, from what I can tell, for anything out there. I'm talking for Wisconsin. I can't say for the whole nation, but just for what I'm seeing, right? I'm very responsive. And what this guy said to me is, he goes, you know, Wisconsin needs a leader, not an educator. And I kind of paused for a moment. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I am leading by educating. Educating the voter on the truth is what a leader should do, right?
Right.
So if you're trying to sell something to the citizens of Wisconsin or the nation, and you're trying to sell this idea of, like Obamacare, nationalized health care, if you can't really tell them, educate them point by point out how this new system is going to impact their life, if you're just going to lie to them, then you're a terrible leader. You're guiding the entire nation down the wrong path. Okay. So one thing that my biggest pet peeve, I've been following politics for quite some time, 10, 12 years, but this is the first time I actually, wanted to get involved. But the biggest thing I couldn't stand with political ads, and it's happening even right now between Trump and Biden, is, Trump will say, I'm doing such and such. And then Biden will say, no, you're not. You're not doing it. But they actually never give the plan. That, they just keep saying, you're not doing it, but you're not doing it. Where's the real plan? How do I know that you're actually going to do anything, right? And so with my campaign, when I say something, I give specific point-by-point details. I'm actually doing the video cast. I'm doing the podcast. And I'm explaining to the voter how this program or idea is going to impact them, either for, positive or negative. And that's different. No, there's no one else doing that. I think people appreciate that.
They do. I was watching the Trump interview on News Nation last night, and Trump had said, he says the politicians would be very surprised about how smart the American people are. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
If you just give us the information, we will come up. It may take some people longer than others, but eventually they will come up with the right answer.
Right. Well, yeah, politicians, the government, they love to speak in confusing language because they try to make it seem like their job is something special, that no one else can do it, right? And that, therefore, it demands high salary and then people are intimidated by it. But actually, everything can be simplified. I hate how complex government has become. I feel it's unnecessary.
It's bloated. It's bloated. It's bloated at the state levels, and it's bloated at the federal level.
Right, and then so people are sitting there wondering why nothing's getting done, why the decay is happening in the nation, why everything's decaying. Our infrastructure is decayed, our school systems are decayed, healthcare is decaying. It just goes on. And people don't know how to make it stop. And I'm like, all right, enough. I'm going to make it stop, all
right? Right.
And this is where, if I get into some debates, if I have the pleasure of debating Tony Evers or even other potential candidates that want to dare come on the scene, let's debate about this stuff, because I'm going to run circles around every politician every time on these matters. Every time, I guarantee you.
Well, I'm going to have to catch that. I'm going to have
well,
to see.
Well, the problem is the forum won't probably ask these questions. You know what I'm saying? They'll always ask the questions around this or softball other people, because they know. They know what I'm speaking is the truth.
They will never give you a break. You're going to have to make your own.
Yeah, well, that's been my whole life, so I'm used to it.
I get it. Now, I also see that you are pro-life.
I am.
Enough said. We're not. We don't have to go into the over and over again. We've all heard it. It's all the point is this. You know what? The man is pro-life, and if you like the idea of slaughtering, babies, then don't vote for him.
Yeah, you might want to get your head examined on that one.
You might want to. Or continue your poor voting habits.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, okay, look, I know you're pressed for time today.
No, I'm good. I think I have a good flow here.
Okay.
We can keep going. Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. What else do you want to say? What other topics you want to touch on?
Let's talk a little bit about Trump, if we may.
Yeah, we may.
That's So, you know, I would set it clear out there. Most people are always wondering. So, you know, the biggest thing I don't care for inside the Republican Party or people claim to be Republican conservatives is if you do not, like you were talking earlier before this, you know, interview, if you do not 100% agree with everything Trump is doing, then you hate Trump. You know what I'm saying? You don't support Trump. And that's dangerous, in my opinion, because I feel that every leader, there should be room for critique.
Right.
If there isn't, then you become a dictator.
You become a goose stepper.
Yeah. So, Trump, yeah, I'm voting for him. I definitely like what he's doing. But where I kind of, you know, catch my breath on some things is, and I understand maybe why he has to do it, is I sometimes feel he's not being totally honest with the American voters about the true dilemma that we're in as a nation, right? He is always touting, like, we are better than everyone else in the rest of the world. We are better than China. We're going to stick it to China. China, you know, China's the blame for this and that. And
China.
But what he, China.
he says it that way. It cracks me up every time I hear him.
What he's failing to mention or educate the voters on is how long it took for other politicians to sell America out to China, right?
Right.
And listen, in a free market space, you can never compete with slave labor. I'm sorry.
You can't.
You just can't. So when you open up the international markets to do business with, you know, a communist country that basically has slave labor, you know, starting out back in the day.
Right.
Well, naturally, we're going to lose all of our companies to that place.
It's true.
So that was the first thing. So we you know, and the other thing is the American consumer has gotten so accustomed to, I guess, in their mind, a higher standard of living, right? Even though it's cheap garbage, you know, plastic crap made in China.
It's terrible.
That they filled their homes with. And somehow they think they're living this wonderful, glamorous, rich lifestyle on the backs of, you know, these slave labor. So when Trump comes out and says, make America great again, we're going to bring jobs back to America. I'm not saying that can't be done. It can. But when you make that kind of shift, that major shift and change, there's going to be some significant pain to the American consumer, sticker shock,
right?
That they weren't anticipating. Because if you really break down our economy, the pre-COVID, we were at about a 60% service economy, okay?
Right.
When COVID shut down, all that destruction came into play. You know, we're damaged, even in the service area. So what is left of the American economy? If China cut us off tomorrow from all the things that we're used to buying in the big box stores, right, how long would it take for American corporations to tool up, even find the people that could do it, and begin to produce all the things that we're used to buying? How long would it take, do you think?
You know what? It's a great question. I haven't thought about it. I would say it would take anywhere from 8 months to 3 years.
Yeah, you're about right. Probably on the longer side, actually. So at least a year, year and a half. So for a year, year and a half, you're going to have nothing basically in the stores, the box stores, for Americans to buy. What psychological effect do you think that's going to have on people?
Well, they're going to be screaming, we want our cheap crap back.
Sure. But now the thing is, nothing that they're buying for is going to be cheap anymore initially. Here's why. As you know, with law of supply and demand, okay, the demand will still be there. But here's the thing. So Trump's always calling for a weaker dollar. I'm sure you've heard him say that, right? We need weaker. China's a currency manipulator. Have you heard him say that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. What people don't understand is America has been the biggest currency manipulator for years, okay? Everyone does it. The moment you left the gold standard, you're basically manipulating your currency. All currencies are floating, you know, attached to each other. It's all fiat, though.
Right.
Decree. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So it's the dollar right now is just the prettiest pig in the pen. That's all it is. Okay? So what Trump is failing to educate the American voters on is, if we're going to push for trying to bring American-made product back, American manufacturing, ramp that up, okay, it's fine. But we're doing it in the most weakest state the nation has ever been in to make this decision to do. I mean, we have Americans that barely have $500 in their savings account, right? When COVID lockdown happened, it only took 2 weeks for most American workers to start begging the government for some sort of bailout, right? A stimulus, unemployment, all this stuff. 2 weeks. They couldn't even live on their own 2 feet. their own savings account for more than 2 weeks.
That's why we're preppers. That's why you have preppers. We prepare for crap like that, and we won't sit there trying to buy all the toilet paper on the planet, which was dumb.
Does it sound like America is the strongest economic nation in the world? No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
So in order to compete with the globe, we have to begin to export things. Well, the only way to do that is to weaken the dollar. He says we need to weaken because that makes our exports cheaper to buy. That's fine if you're going to do that. That's going to benefit the big multinational corporations or whoever can retool to do that. But at the same time, as you weaken the dollar, you're also putting pressure on the purchasing power of everyone else. So things that people need to buy are rising in cost now because the dollar is dropping, right? So things are getting more expensive in dollars. And because people basically have no savings and a lot of people now have no jobs, tell me how that's going to be a good thing for them.
Right.
It's not, right? So that pain is going to be so excruciating to get through that one, maybe two, even 3 years. And the time length really depends on the leader. So if Trump really knows what he's doing, has his ducks in a row, then, yes, he can shorten that time frame of pain to bring manufacturing back to this country, whereas someone like Biden, God help us, right? Biden, good luck. We're done.
Oh, don't eat. Oh, I can't wait for the debates. I'm watching that.
Yeah, that's probably the most.
It's going to be elder abuse, and I guarantee you, the mainstream media is going to scream that Trump abused him.
Yeah,
the fact is, oh God. Hey, listeners, just so you know about Jonathan here, and this is, he's got a Yes, he went to Ottawa University. He's majored in business administration, management information systems, and marketing. And guess what? Yes, he worked for the corporations, but he's also been a small business owner. So for you small business people out there, you got one of your own running. You need to support him.
Thank you.
And he also needs money. Look, the one thing that most people, that stops most people from throwing their hat in the ring, people are not comfortable going up and begging for money for their campaigns. But that's the way our system of government is set up for these campaigns. Now, if you don't want to sit there and you want Wisconsin going down the same dead trail that's been going on for years, then don't vote for him. But if you can get on, see what Jonathan's talking about, catch the vision, throw him $20, $100. You small business owners out there, it becomes a write-off on your taxes. The more you contribute to them, the more you can write off. Figure it out. This is not hard, people.
Yeah, I mean, if Bernie Sanders can raise what he did on small donations.
He did.
I know, on socialist ideas, right?
Oh, God.
That have actually hurt America. Man, one would think I should be able to raise a similar amount of money for actually trying to do the right thing.
Well, you would think so, right? I mean, look. This is what, and when we get done, I will be contributing to your campaign, even though I don't live in Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored.
But I got to tell you, I've been on Disgrace Book the last 3 or 4 days. I had a couple hundred extra dollars extra. So what I did was I went to winred.com, and guess what I did? Oh, you're running? I threw all the cats that come through my Facebook feed, I throw them $10. Spread the wealth around, get the contributions out there, because, like you said, if the socialists can get by on $10 or $20 from everybody, guess what? Everybody can if you're running for office.
Exactly. And being a small business owner, I'm used to bootstrapping and working off a limited budget. So I'm great at operating effectively within small budgets. I don't need multi-millions of dollars to be effective. I'm already effective right now the way I am. I have about 300,000 people in Wisconsin who already know about my name, my campaign, they're aware of me, right?
Right.
And it didn't cost me very much to do that. When you have the right message, when you're a strong leader and you're speaking truth, it resonates with people.
It does.
How can it not? And like, whoa, this guy's actually speaking the truth like no other politician has ever done. He talks like I do. Let's see what he's about. And they start spreading your name like wildfire.
They start to talk amongst each other. And that doesn't cost anything, my friends.
Exactly.
Know this, know that. Beware. Because the mainstream media is going to come looking for Jonathan. They're going to come headhunting, just like they always do. And they're going to throw out, well, he's college educated, he's white, oh, and he worked for the corporation, so he's bad. And they're going to tear him up. They're going to, they are not going to do anything or say anything good or positive about the Wickman campaign. It's just not going to happen. So,
no. And it's funny because I'm actually not, like, I speak out about, American corporations. I've seen what they've been doing. I don't agree with it. I don't like what they're doing, right? People wonder, why is the American economy not expanding? Because these big corporations, American corporations, never took any of their money and actually invested it into the local economy. They just did share buybacks for God knows how many years.
Right.
Artificially prop up their shares. That's all they care about. All right, so now, like, the airlines, they're in trouble. They're going to ask for a second bailout from the government now when all they did was share buybacks for all these years.
That's not
real investment. That's not real organic growth. That's not running a business. And this is where people understand, oh, America is a capital, society and free markets. No, we're not. We're actually kind of fascist is what we are, right? That's really how America's been operating for a long time. So the bad corporations like Boeing should be insolvent, in my opinion. But they can't let Boeing fall because Boeing is heavily weighted in the Dow Industrial Index. If Boeing goes, so goes the Dow. Okay? Then you have pension funds, 401ks, IRAs, they're all connected to that, dragged down. Before we know it, we have a 2008 financial crisis on steroids.
And there, you know what? I was working in the court system when that happened. I was absolutely just flabbergasted by what was happening. And the courts up, down here were actually doing everything they could. Everything they could to delay the foreclosures and all that crap. Eventually they had to give in. But the fact is, it should have never have happened to begin with.
No, it shouldn't have. And the reason they're delaying, I'll wrap up with this, unless you want to wrap up with something else, but the scary part that your typical voter, American, doesn't understand is back then in 2008, we were literally days, maybe 2 or 3 days away from an entire system freeze.
Oh, yeah.
Your credit card don't work, your checking and savings, all that is frozen. And the reason for that is no one had any liquidity. It was all because of all the derivatives, all the over leverage, all the cheap money borrowing that they all did. And the banks are the most guilty and the ones responsible for this, right? So
oh,
the government and central banks always look to create what's called a false flag to distract people to look over here where they are the root of the problem. And they'll never get blamed for this because there's no politician criticizing them whatsoever on all their terrible decisions that they've done over the years.
And only one person from the 2008 global meltdown, only one person went to prison. It was some low-life, or not, I mean, low-level guy from Deutsche Bank.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
really?
Exactly.
One person? How much power does he have? How much power do you have, my friend? I want to be your friend. Hell, you got that kind of power? But other than that, not one banker went to freaking federal prison, and they should have been lined up outside the federal prison waiting to be in processed and given a new accommodations at the Gray Bar Hotel.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, the donation went through, so there you go. I'm a man of my word.
Thank you so much.
I'm a man of my word, sir.
As am I.
I know you are. That's why we're talking. That's what I like about this. What else do you want to say, my friend?
I mean, I think we covered it. Maybe the last little topic I'd like to touch on is, what's going on with the BLM.
So, have at it.
I think.
Tear into
well,
them.
I think you, yeah, I mean, they even came out all the way to, you sent me an article here, the high school in rural Wisconsin. Where was that again?
I believe it was Walworth County. Bigfoot High School.
Yeah. And, they kind of TP'd it and did some other things from what I can see. They're willing to come all the way out there, and they're very, very aggressive. They're always on offense, and my big problem is with Republican conservatives, we're always on defense, it seems like.
Yes.
So I've had the pleasure of meeting and speaking briefly with Brian Thal, Congressman Brian Thal, and he's wanting to take an offensive approach. And I think by me coming on the scene, you know, with this kind of energy and boldness now, it's encouraging him to even press harder, and he's coming up with some good offensive measures to try and head off, which, in my opinion, are terrorist organizations, from destroying, you know, our property and hurting people. Because it's not about protesting,
no, it isn't.
And, you know, and equal rights. They've lost that message a long time ago now. Now it's just a socialist communist agenda to bring America to its knees.
Right. So. And even when they get their way, they still throw temper tantrums.
Exactly.
It's like enough is a, look, I've got, hey, look, you want to protest, I don't care if you want to, you know, shout, yell, jump up and down, scream. I don't care. That's your right. I got no problem with that. I draw the line when you start destroying other people's property and livelihoods. That's where I draw the line. And you should be dealt with harshly for that.
So I won't say the majority of Americans, but a good portion of them. We've all become, you know, spoiled adult children, right? Spoiled people, entitled little kids, and I guess Papa's got to come home to do some discipline now. So here I'm coming up to Wisconsin, and we got to set everything, you know, get everything in alignment, and let's get going, because real people's lives depend on this, right?
Right.
That's the problem with the system. The system is kind of this invisible ruling hand, and it has the ability to lift people up or destroy your life completely. And unfortunately, all it's been doing is destroying. And real people lose everything. They go homeless and even sometimes lose their lives due to suicide and everything else, because no matter how hard they tried, they just weren't able to make it.
And that is criminal. That's why I draw the line where I do. Yes. That's my, you know, said, if you want to protest, great, have at it. You know, whatever. I don't care. Don't destroy other people's lives. Don't destroy property. It's like, I don't understand, you know, when I was growing up, not only did I get hit with the belt on occasion because I deserved it, but I was taught in school, keep your hands to yourself and don't worry about things that don't concern you. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I
don't
had a
steal
few,
things.
Encounters with the belt myself.
You know, for all the hoopla, you know, I mean, hell, I didn't turn out to be a bad person. I'm a good citizen. Did I deserve to get cracked with the belt? Well, looking back on it, probably. At the time, no. But then it was like, no, I don't think I deserve this. But I think we've all been there.
What the Bible says, spare the rod, right?
Oh, you know what? They did for the most part, but there were times I probably needed to be put in place, and so be it.
Yeah.
You know, but regardless, another show for another time.
Absolutely.
What else?
Well, this has been wonderful. Huh?
What do you think? Now, where are you in regards to the Republican Party? Do you have another opponent? Are you the only one on the party's radar right now?
Yeah, I'm the only one declared, you know, so far. I've been a Republican. I voted Republican, you know, since I could vote.
Right.
My family has always been Republican conservative.
Excellent.
As far as, you know, officially with the party, this is like the first time, you know, that I'm running here. I would say, you know, kind of half of them embrace and welcome me. I'm fresh blood. I'm new energy. Some of my ideas are very powerful and might scare them because it's going to bring a lot of transparency. To, you know, shine the light on a whole bunch of nothing that they've been doing when it comes to the Constitution and protecting our rights and actually making life better to some degree, right? Even Republicans are rhinos and they can sit on their hands and do a whole lot of nothing but still collect their check.
Well,
they're not immune from that either. So, but the other side, they're like, whoa, who's this guy? You know, like, ugh. So they try to dismiss me and, you know, box me out a little bit, but I won't let them box me out.
Don't.
I speak loudly.
All right, my friend. Before we go,
yeah.
Last thing. Anything you want to say, you get the last word.
Last word.
It's up to you.
I would say in ending, you know, we are definitely at a pivotal point in our nation and also Wisconsin. From everything that I've been watching over the years and how it's shaping up, even just like I said, from the economic and finance point, we're going to reach a flashpoint where if we don't correct these mistakes, and we have a lot of mistakes, America is not we will implode. We can implode just like Venezuela, right, or any other country. We are not immune to that. That can happen here, right? So we're not above that. And the corruption, you know, and just evil, pure evil. That's the thing. America is supposed to be the shining light to the world, the moral high ground, right?
It's supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. And we are no different. We are becoming even more evil sometimes, I've seen, right? And this is not a representation of all the citizens, but really a representation of the leadership,
right.
The elected officials in all these offices, you know. So it's time for, my call is it's time for real diehard patriots who love this country, right, to rise up. I know you're working your jobs and you're trying to support your families, but the only way we're going to actually turn this around and make real change is if you get involved in politics. If you get involved at any level you can, right, and just stand as a defense, for freedom at that level and start, you know, organizing and working together with fellow patriots and take back our political system, take back our country. Because if we don't, you think life is bad now, the misery is going to be terrible going forward.
You're correct. You, sir, get a gold star for the day, but only for today. Tomorrow.
Okay, and lastly, pray for me. Always keep me in your prayers. You know, I understand stress. I've been through stress, mm-hmm. and I know what's potentially coming. And the only thing that will get me through it is God's power and grace. So pray for me.
That is true, and you shall. Believe me, the people that listen to this show, they pray. They do. Or at least some
Thank
of them.
You.
Others I'm questioning on, but nonetheless. All right, my friends. I know that Mr. Wickman's got to fly. He's got a campaign to run. He's got to generate some contributions, and he's got to terrorize the Democrats in his state of Wisconsin. So we shall let him get back to his job.
Thank you.
No problem, sir.
Wonderful. I appreciate it.
No, Mr. Wickman, I appreciate you coming on, taking the time. I know you're a busy man. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks to Austin for setting this up. I appreciate it, pal.
Yeah, thank you, Austin.
And so, do me a favor. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to come back in a few months.
Yes, I'd love to. Anytime.
Just to get an update. We don't have to do the, half hour, 20 minutes, the hour, whatever we're doing. Just to get an update.
Sure.
Because I'm sure as things start to progress, you're going to get, your positions are going to solidify. You're going to come up with something new you want to put out there. I get it. So I invite you, please, come back in a few months. Let's find out what's going on as things get closer and closer. And to the Republican Party in Wisconsin, pull your head out of your backsides and get behind this guy. What are you guys waiting for?
Thank you.
There. Not, will they listen to me? No. Am I in the loop? No. Am I one of their advisors? No, but I like to think that I am, though I'm not. All right, Mr. Wickman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, John.
All right, my friend. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, my friends, that was Jonathan Wickman. We're going to have to leave.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that was our... That was our platform for having call-ins and whatnot. Anyways, that was Jonathan Wickman running for Wisconsin governor in 2022. Want to say this, my friends, and it goes because we're, 42 days out? 41 days out from the election. What I would like you to do, my friends, is this. Go to winred.com. You're going to see some. If you got extra money, and I know it's tight, maybe throw $5 to a couple candidates. They'll appreciate it because they're going to identify which candidates are close to flipping blue districts red, et cetera, that kind of thing. In the meantime, I'm John Jeffers here on the Jeffers Brief. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with Jonathan Wickman. And you know what? I may do another show probably on the weekend. I'm not sure yet. Anyways, until then, I'm John Jeffers. Stay safe, stay alert, and stay vigilant. We will talk to you again, Intelligentsia. Thanks for listening.